Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jayadita Premanande.
Where is everybody? Okay. So next Monday we'll do the overview of chapters 9 to 16. Is there a way we can communicate that to everyone? You can send an email to everyone.
Yeah.
So just say the overview class is next Monday. And then the following Monday will be the closed book exam. And open book exams are due also on the following. So tonight we'll begin chapter 17. And we'll... 17 is in the next volume. So we'll begin chapter 17 and then we'll go to next week the overview of 9 to 16. Okay. Shukadev Goswami said, O King, after Aditi was thus advised by her husband Kashyapa Muni, she strictly followed his instructions without laziness and in this way performed the payo, brata, ritualistic ceremony.
What about Bandhu Prabhu?
For advancement in anything, especially in spiritual life, one must strictly follow the bona fide instruction of the teacher.
Yeah.
Aditi did this. She strictly followed the instruction of her husband and guru. As confirmed in the Vedic injunction, Yasya Deva Paro Bhakti Yada Devo Tada Guru. One should have complete faith in the Guru, who helps the disciple make progress in spiritual life. As soon as the disciple thinks independently, not caring for the instruction of the spiritual master, he is a failure. Yasya Prasada Nagati Utopi. Aditi very strictly followed the instruction of her husband and spiritual master, and thus she was successful.
Good. Any points?
To be successful in the spiritual life, we must form the Guru Maharaj strictly. That is
said. Anything else?
We should have strong faith in the instruction of the spiritual master.
Yeah. Any other points?
You're saying that the instruction of the spiritual master is actually the energy of
fire.
I didn't get what
you said. You have to ask her. He didn't get what you said.
I read a lecture and Jaya Maharaj was saying that the instructions of the spiritual master is actually the energy of Lord Balaram.
Any other points?
What is the bio of that?
Read the previous chapter. It's for people who actually come to the course, they know what's going on. So.
I must stop depending on his own endeavor. So we see in this material world that when he is on the leg and there, and they're trying to go hard. But without the mercy of the Guru, nothing can be successful. Even though from here we all depend on each other, all the basics to the whole education, but even in the spiritual life, same thing applies. So, basically, the Prabhu was mentioning in the Aramco, he mentioned that people want to teach her in every aspect. But when it comes to the spiritual life, they think that they can advance on their own.
Good point. Anything else? So this is the secret of success in spiritual life. Prabhupada says in the purport of Bhagavad Gita chapter 4 text 34, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnina sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam Gyaninas Tattvabhaja Darshana. So it's practically the most famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. And at one point, Prabhupada, I believe he said that it is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Because how do we understand Krishna? Through the instruction of the spiritual master. So success in spiritual life is based upon following strictly the instructions which we get from the spiritual master. So Prabhupada says that the instruction of the guru is the life and soul of the disciple. Prabhupada also says the instruction of the guru is the pride of the disciple. Because in spiritual life we do not become proud, but we become proud to follow. We're proud of our spiritual master, we're proud of Krishna and the devotees, and we become proud to follow the instruction which is given us by the guru. Now the guru gives general instructions and he gives specific instructions, which means specific instructions to particular disciples and then general instructions he gives in his lectures. So the general instructions apply to all of us. But then the specific instructions he'll give to the particular disciple according to the psychophysical makeup of the disciple. So the spiritual master studies and he sees what is the nature of this particular disciple. So he won't give the same instruction to two different disciples necessarily. Because he'll see this disciple, he needs particular instruction. And this disciple, he needs a different instruction to become purified. So the guru is expert, he's daksha, which means he understands the special qualification or the nature of every disciple and he gives them instructions accordingly. Now the instruction of the spiritual master, there are many types of gurus. There is Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, Bhatma Pradakshika Guru, Chaitya Guru you can say. So there are many different types of Guru. Anyone who gives us instruction, we can say, well, that is Guru in one sense. Just like Srila Prabhupada, we gave the example that the doctor came because Prabhupada had a stroke and then the doctor was drunk. And he came and he said, he needs to walk every day. So then Prabhupada said, Krishna is speaking through him. So then, in one sense, he became like the guru. Because then Prabhupada, every day, he began the morning walk. So the instruction will come from practically any place. In the 11th canto, we see that there are many gurus which are given. The python was the guru, and then there was so many different examples are given of who is the guru. So we can see guru in so many ways. So specifically, the guru, he will appear as the Diksha Guru and the Shiksha Guru. And they will give us instruction how to advance in spiritual life according to our nature. So the disciple, that becomes, as Prabhupada says in the purport for Bhagavad Gita 4.34, that is the secret of success in spiritual life, is to follow the instruction of the guru. Yasha prasadad bhagavat prasado yasha prasadan na kiti katopi, which means if you don't follow na kiti na gati katopi, you cannot get Krishna's mercy. So Krishna's mercy is only felt or experienced when you follow the guru's instructions. If there's no following the guru's instructions, you don't get Krishna's mercy. So any points?
I give you my example. When Jagadaya Goswami gave me Diksha in Mayapur, he told me what you have to follow, and then he said, one more thing. So I said, what? You have to help me in serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada. That was the main instruction he gave me. You must help me. Try your best to fulfill the mission of Prabhupada. Prabhupada's mission is teaching. Teaching and distribution of Krishna is the main thing, a book distribution.
Any point? Anything else?
One more thing. My wife, as we were coming out, the first thing she said in the car, that our spiritual master is suffering because of us. We are so bad.
So bad. Go on. We shouldn't even let you come to this class. Why didn't you tell us 10 years ago you were so bad? We would have changed everything. Not very good. Anything else?
So why is this happening then?
Huh?
If you're not bad, then why is this happening?
If the disciples stop following the regulative principles. Prabhupada got sick in 1976, I think it was, maybe 74 even. And Prabhupada said, because many of my disciples are not following the regulative principles. So, if you follow the regulative principles, the guru does not get any reaction. If you don't follow the regulative principles, the guru has to take the some reactions. I don't know what goes on in your house. So. Any other points?
What is Chaitya Guru?
Chaitya Guru means guru in the heart.
Okay.
Super soul. Yeah, Paramatma. Okay. Any other point?
It's also not necessarily important Vaishnavas for pure Vaishnavas, not necessarily they suffer because they are sinful or something. We can see like Rupa and Sanatan, who was with the, you know, when he had the source on his king.
Sanatan
Goswami. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his Nitya Siddha devotee, he was sick almost all the time. Because you have a material body, you can't expect, you know, like a car. When you have a car, no matter how much you look after it and how much you are pure, you know, like the car will break down. Not necessary, and that's why it says in one of the, maybe Nectar of Instruction says we should not look the devotees according to the body and say, oh, he has been sinful or something. There was instruction on that.
Any other points?
And the Lord himself showed us by example that when in Krishna Bhakti that he accepts us and gives me as his guru. And although the Lord is all knowledgeable, then also he so neglects lots of good for him, he has sat at his feet. And also he follows his instructions. Because he has written in Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also showed up.
Anything else? With full, undiverted attention, Aditi thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and in this way brought under full control her mind and senses, which resembled forceful horses. She concentrated her mind upon the Supreme Lord, Vasudev. Thus she performed the ritualistic ceremony known as Payov Bharata. So, Janeshwar, you like to...
This is the process of bhakti yoga. Anya vilayata, anna vilashita shunya, dana karma dhyana bhakti, anupurya, shamam shirya, bhakti yoga. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit to gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is pure devotional service. One simply has to concentrate upon lotus feet of Vasudeva, Krishna, Savayavan Krishna, Padaravindaya. Then the mind and senses will be controlled, and one can engage himself fully in the devotional service of the Lord. The devotee does not need to practice the Hatha Yoga system to control the mind and senses. His mind and senses are automatically controlled because of unalloyed devotional service to the Lord.
What are the points?
So it's not easy to control the mind and the senses, but if you concentrate, if you engage them in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, that can be better controlled.
Anything else?
What is the investigation? Is the control of senses by engaging our senses in the service and then we can get the since it's purified. Sometimes we cannot do by any label practices, what mentions there are. He supports the method, but still, the mind goes here and there. The Buddha also mentioned pure devotion is unalloyed. He finds all unalloyed means something is mixed. But in this knowledge chairs will aid us to perfection.
Any other points?
Srila Prabhupada emphasizing loving service to Lord. Then the sincerity of the devotee. Whatever we offer with love. Any pattern, then Lord takes.
Okay. So the process of controlling the mind and the senses is given, Prabhupada is elaborating, and also Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates in his commentary. The process is by using the intelligence, because the simplest example is given, that the senses are like the horses pulling the chariot, and then the mind is the ropes, the driver is the intelligence, the soul is within the carriage. So, Krishna, in the second chapter of the Gita, he speaks about Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga means yoga of the intelligence. So, in this second chapter, Krishna mentions the term Buddhi Yoga many times. I can't remember, but I think it's like 17 times or something. Constantly he is saying, throughout the 60 or so verses, which are there, 70 verses actually, in the second chapter. Then Krishna is explaining this term Buddhi Yoga. So Buddhi Yoga means to use the intelligence. The intelligence must control the mind. And Krishna has explained this further to Arjuna at the end of the third chapter of the Gita. Arjuna says, what is it that makes me act even forcibly as if against my will? And Krishna says, Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajaguna Samudbhava. It is your lust. Right? Now, how to control lust? Because that is the... Lust means the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, public enemy number one, Mr. Lust. That is the main problem in the material world. Lust means the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So then, Krishna, when he's explaining to Arjuna how to conquer lust, then he says that the senses are controlled by the mind, or mind is superior to the senses, intelligence is superior, and then the soul is more superior. So he gives the natural hierarchy. Now in the material world, everyone is controlled by the senses, and the senses dictate to the mind facilitates the senses, and Prabhupada explains that the intelligence becomes the capital of lust. Because whatever you want to enjoy with your senses and your mind, then the intelligence, he is organizing it for you. So he becomes the center of lust. But in spiritual life, it is the opposite. Right? The intelligence must control the mind. Because the mind all day is saying, do this, do that, taste this, touch this, smell this, hear this, see this.
Eat this.
What's that?
Eat this. Eat.
Eat, eat this. Yeah. So he's always giving instructions to the mind. And the mind is always being dictated to by the senses. So then the intelligence, his job is to control the mind. Because the mind wants to do anything and everything unrestrictedly. But the intelligence says, no, you must control. We have another program for you to follow. Now in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the secret of success in spiritual life. He says, param drishtva nivartate. Which means that one must have a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. So you can only go away from the lower taste when you get the higher taste. So if you're thinking that I can enjoy material life, the only way you can give up enjoyment in material life is you get something better. The only way we can give up eating meat and drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes and taking drugs and all these things is by taking prasad. Because we get a superior satisfaction from prasad and we can give up our lower vices or attachments. So therefore, the intelligence, the duty of the intelligence is to... So Krishna says at the end of the third chapter of the Gita, how to make the intelligence strong? By spiritual study. By studying the Bhagavatam and the other literatures. And then the intelligence becomes strong. And then the mind will not control you. Well, let me finish and then you can object. Then the mind cannot control you. Unless Rasa tells it that it is otherwise. But the mind cannot control you because the intelligence is strong in spiritual life. So Krishna is explaining to us by hearing the Shastra, then the intelligence becomes fertile, it becomes strong. And with strong intelligence, you can conquer the mind or control the mind. Otherwise, the mind will just lead you away from Krishna. It is the mind which has been taking us lifetime after lifetime after lifetime away from Krishna. So when the intelligence is fed by the instructions of the guru, instructions of the sadhu, instructions of the shastra, right, then it becomes strong and then you can control the mind and force it to go towards Krishna. Well, not force it to go towards Krishna, but it will naturally go towards Krishna because it gets a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. So that is the system that Krishna is recommending. I'll take Rasa first.
Rupa Goswami also said...
I will take Rasa first. Thank you. So. Just get to the point, because I've made my point. What do you want to say?
Yudhishthira Prabhu, he said, the Rashtra went to the forest, he said, he was disturbed, and then it was said he pacified his mind by the purified intelligence. And I was wondering how with what purified intelligence. And then I opened by chance another place, and it says intelligence is strengthened by meditation on the lotus feet of Krishna. And I think it's a really good one to, because we have many people who study like anything. They're super intelligent and they fall like anything. It's not. It helps because you discriminate. You help this.
I don't think it's two different things. Because to meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna, how do you meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna? You read about Krishna.
That you may become half like the knowledge.
Anyway, that's there. But don't contradict what Krishna says in the Gita, because Krishna himself says, right, by fixed up intelligence you'll control the mind, and he says that comes by shastric study. And Prabhupada explains it clearly. If you read the purport, that's what Prabhupada says.
And Bhagavatam
also says, I mean, it says Nicham Bhagavata Sevya, it says study the book, so there's no harm in studying the books. It works for me, so. Any other point?
Rupa Goswami says, Utsaha, Nishchaya, Dhairya, three important things. Enthusiasm, resolution, and Dhairya, patience. These three things will also help to control the mind through the intelligence. What do you say, plus one? These three things. So, Nishchaya Dharma. If I am resolved that I have to go to the spiritual world, then my mind will definitely follow if I am strong. And if I have enthusiasm to follow the instruction of the spiritual master, that will save me further. And Dharya means I have to wait till the time comes. Cannot go right now. When the time will come, then only I can.
Anything else?
In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has said in, I think it is chapter 12, verse 8, that fix your engage your senses in me and fix your intelligence in me.
Yes, right.
And by then, you will live in me on up of the moon or something. There is no doubt about it. But
then
what you said
is TK. Anything else?
Lust is the biggest enemy, as you said. If I am thinking of money all the time, I'll just find some way to get money somehow. In every dealing, I like to have some. What is in for me?
Anything else?
I think Prabhupada's books are special in terms of not just giving knowledge, he takes the reader to the action of exactly what we have to do. I heard in a lecture where I was saying, Krishna says that you surrender at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, but Prabhupada, from the very first purport, he is in exercise. When any way you take, you will get the conclusion from the Bhagavad Gita. So, it is, the Prabhupada's purpose are very action-oriented. What exactly we need to do, yeah. Is really rather than just the knowledge and theoretical knowledge about it. So that way our intelligence will be properly guided.
Very action oriented. He says, you have to leave the material world if you want to be happy. There is no happiness in material world. If you are thinking of happiness, it's only in this material world. Whatever we get is only momentary happiness.
Actually, knowledge is required, undoubtedly, best to get. I mean, I was listening to Bhakti Krishna Maharaj's lecture. You were saying knowledge is like where you actually are crossing the boat. Which will take you from one end to the other. But then that knowledge has to be left, because the prayojan is something, the lotus feet of Krishna, which is what we are trying to get, the end result. And he specifically said, Ajay said, those who are actually worshipping the lotus feet of Lord Krishna are the most intelligent people.
Yes.
So both are correct. Both are correct. Thank you.
Yeah, that was my point.
Save my life. Anything else? Good. Anything else?
Srila Prabhupada also said chanting, Sumedhsha. Those who are chanting, they are the only intelligent. Holy name.
Lord Krishna said, Chantalai, Arjuna asked him, Chantalai, Namai Krishna. The Krishna said, yes, this is very gentle, but by practice and by knowledge, you can conquer.
Yeah, Abhyasan, Rakta. My dear King, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, dressed in yellow garments and bearing a conch shell disc club and lotus in his four hands, then appeared before Aditi. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead became visible to Aditi's eyes, Aditi was so overwhelmed by transcendental bliss that she at once stood up and then fell to the ground like a rod to offer the Lord her respectful obeisances. Aditi stood silently with folded hands, unable to offer prayers to the Lord. Because of transcendental bliss, tears filled her eyes and the hairs on her body stood on end. Because she could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, she felt ecstasy and her body trembled. On Maharaj Pariksit, the demigoddess Aditi then began offering her prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In a faltering voice and with great love, she appeared as though drinking through her eyes the Supreme Lord, who is the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, the enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, and the Master and Lord of the entire universe. So, Chaitanya Prabhu.
After observing the Bhagavata, Aditi was certain that the Lord had appeared before her as Ramapati, the husband of all good fortune. Just to offer her sense all opulences, she had performed the yajna of Payavrata under the direction of her husband, Kashyapa, and therefore she thought of the Lord as Yajnapati. She was completely satisfied to see the Master and Lord of the entire universe come before her to fulfill her desire.
So are there any points there?
That reminds me one verse about Pati, Jagnapati, Lakshmi Pati, the big words.
Anything else? So how does she see him? When she sees the Lord, she sees him as the husband of the goddess of fortune. So she's thinking, because there's some motivation in her approaching the Lord. Rupa Goswami teaches us, do not approach Krishna with motivation, but just approach him purely, with the desire to serve Krishna. But she's approaching, she wants her sons to once again take control of the universe. So there is motivation there. So she sees him as the husband of the goddess of fortune, because the goddess of fortune gives you Lakshmi. She is Lakshmi, so she gives you fortune, blessings. So she wants blessing from the Lord. So it's not like a pure reciprocation. In other words, she's coming to the Lord, but it's not with the right motive necessarily. Now, the right motive would be to simply say to the Lord, how can I serve you? But she has motivation. She wants the demigods to rule once again. Right? And then she sees him as the enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies. So once again, she's thinking, I did sacrifice. I did the payobrata, which is in the previous chapter. I sacrificed for you. Now please, what will I get in return? So when we do sacrifice, when we do jagya, or when we do sankirtan jagya, or when we do deity worship, we're not doing the deity worship with the mentality that I will get something in return. We don't chant the holy name with the mentality I'll get something in return. We don't do a jagya with the mentality I will get something in return. No? But Diti, she has done the payobrata ceremony, but there is some motivation there that I will get benediction from the Lord. No, but we should not ask for benediction from Krishna. The best thing to ask Krishna is, how can I serve you? Let me become the pure servant of your servant. Like that. So that is the actual motivation we should be looking for. And then she sees him as the Lord and Master of the entire universe. So Bhagavatam has already said, akama sava kama va. If you have something, some desire, then at least go to Krishna. So at least she's done the right thing. She's pious. She's a devotee, a great devotee, but she's not a pure devotee. So Bhagavatam is teaching us, anya vilashita shunyam, jnana kamadyanavritam. You have to give up these things. Krishna no. Anukoyena Krishna no shilanam bhakti uttama. Uttama bhakti means it must be anushilanam. It must be for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna anushilanam. Not that we're doing it for material motivation. It must be devoid of material desire. Anukul means it must be favorable to Krishna. We should stop thinking about ourselves and think about Krishna. So, any points?
But it could be that the Lord planned. Like that, and he motivated her to do that.
Yeah. Indian people always say, just like some man came to the Sunday feast on the farm the other day, and he said for the last 4 months he's been trying to come for the Sunday feast, but Krishna did not allow him. What, Krishna doesn't want you to come to the Sunday feast? Or where's the logic? Indian people always blame Krishna for everything.
Lack of determination.
Yeah, because if Krishna wants me to, it will happen. Yeah? Well, they give donation. And they give donation to the temple or to the farm. And they say, it is all Krishna's. So if it's all Krishna's, then give your whole bank account. Don't just give $100, give $1,000, give $10,000. Sell your house if it's all Krishna's. So people always have this mentality, which is not the correct mentality.
Actually, Krishna fulfills our desires. So not if Krishna desires, but if we desire, then Krishna will desire. Because Krishna anyway fulfills our desires, that's what he does.
Yeah, he reciprocates with us.
My Guru Maharaj was giving lecture in Sydney, and one lady said, my Guru Maharaj asked her that, have you been to Mayapur? And that lady said, Gauranga did not call me. So my Guru Maharaj said, how many times do you visit supermarket? So she said, just today only I went to supermarket. from again. So my Guru Maharaj said, do they call you? Do they invite you?
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Krishna wants me to, I'll come to the Sunday feast. What does that mean? When Krishna arranges, I'll come to the Sunday feast. What does that mean? It means you don't want to come to the Sunday feast. That's the problem. What is your motivation? I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's a big thing. And nobody can do it without the Lord's
sanction. Yeah, I mean, in one sense you can say it like that, but people always...
It's a big thing for me.
I'm not the, that's not the point. You're missing the point. That's the point.
Okay.
Any other points?
You know, sometimes we do the sacrifices for protection and the devotees are not well, they're going through some difficulties. So what category that comes in?
I don't understand, I'm sorry. What's the question?
We do the sacrifice, we do Lord Vishnu, we pray to Lord Vishnu, we do sacrifice, asking in return the protection. So, but we are Vishnu, but Vishnu.
We worship Nisringadev for, and we ask for protection?
Yes. So, is it the motivation? So
protection for what?
For the protection of devotees. The devotee's health. He's just trying to compare this.
Yeah, okay, so it's not pure devotional service. But Jiva Goswami says it's not contrary to pure devotional service. Right? Just like Jiva Goswami explains, if you're about to die, because Rupa Goswami says, Anyabhilashita shunyam. He could have written Anyabhilash shunyam, but he said Anyabhilashita. So when he adds ta to the word, Jiva Goswami explains that means desires can be there, because it says you must give up all desires, but that's not possible because everyone desires. But when the desire is not contrary to Krishna consciousness, so Jiva Goswami gives the example that just like if you're about to die, then what do? You say, Krishna, Krishna, save me. So what are you asking for? You're asking to save the material body, which is not you anyway, but you ask him to do that so that you can continue to serve him. So even though it's not pure devotional service, but it's not contrary to pure devotional service. So you can pray to Lord Nisringadev, please protect me, or please protect this devotee, or protect my Guru Maharaj's health. In that case, you could say it's pure devotional service because it's your guru. But in other cases, then it may not be pure devotional service, but it's not against pure devotional service. Like if you're asking for your body to be saved, that's not pure devotional service, but it's not against it. Because you use the body to serve Krishna. Well, that's all.
Similarly, what we say about karma, vishwabhakti, jnana, vishwabhakti, is that what sort of category falls in this?
Yeah, because it says jnana, karma, jnana, vritam.
Yes.
So all of us are mixed. None of us are pure. Like that. But we have to become more pure. Get rid of the karma, get rid of the jnana, get rid of the yoga.
But then she was trying to save the people in the world from the demons. That's why she wanted the universe to roll over.
TK. Any other points? Okay. The goddess Aditi said, O master and enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, O infallible and most famous person, whose name when chanted spreads all good fortune. O original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Controller, Shelter of all holy places, you are the shelter of all poor, suffering living entities, and you have appeared to diminish their suffering. Please be kind to us and spread our good fortune. Jogeshwar, you want to read that?
So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of those who observe vows and austerities. And it is he who bestows benedictions upon them. He is worshipable for the devotee throughout the devotee's life, for he never breaks his promises. As he says in Bhagavad Gita 9.31, Kunteya Pratijani Name Bhakta Pranashati. O son of Kunti, declare boldly that my devotee never perishes, that God is addressed here as Achyuta, the infallible, because he takes care of his devotees. Anyone inimical to the devotees is certainly vanquished by the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is a source of Gangaya Moda. And therefore, he is addressed here as Tirthapad, indicating that all the holy places are at his lotus feet, or that whatever he touches with his feet becomes the holy place. Bhagavad Gita, for example, begins with the words Dharma Kshetra Kurukshetra. Because the Lord was present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it became Dharma Kshetra, a place of pilgrimage. Therefore, the Pandavas, who were extremely religious, were assured of victory. Any place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead places pastimes, such as Vrindavan or Dwaraka, becomes the holy place. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
is pleasing to the ear, and it expends good fortune to the audience who hears it chanted. Owing to the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Aditi was fully assured that the troublesome condition created for her by the demons were now be ended.
What are the points there?
Actually, first one, what devotee who asked me, he said, so why does Krishna actually only, come to India rather than not any other place in the world?
Fiji.
Fiji. And I was thinking about it, and actually I heard a lecture. It's not because Krishna actually wants to only come to India. It's wherever Krishna goes, that becomes a tilt. Anyway, so wherever he goes, it becomes a holy place, which is what it's saying up here. So it's not that he decided to go to India. It's because he was there, that's why it became a holy place.
It's similar, like at work, we were talking about the same God, and I mentioned to the supervisor, for Pastor, I said that Krishna is supreme, and he kind of laughed, and not laughed, but he was like kind of giggling, that everyone said that, And I said, actually, we worship Krishna because he is supreme, and it's not that he's supreme because we worship him. It says in scripture, he is supreme, and that's why we worship him.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he is supreme because we worship him. So it's similar to what Yashua said.
Anything else?
It is very encouraging to see that he is the master of those who observe all the mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you follow it, instructions of the Lord and follow the Lord.
You have to stop being really bad.
Huh?
You have to stop being really bad.
I shouldn't be so bad.
You should not be really bad.
I shouldn't be feeling so bad.
So, as we surrender to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. So it's according to what we want. We have to examine our motivation. And the entire reason why we study the Bhagavatam is to examine our motivation. Because Bhagavatam is teaching us pure devotional service, not motivated devotional service. Motivated devotional service will not take you to Krishna. Right? It will give you another opportunity for devotional service, but it will not take you to Krishna. You only get to Krishna when your devotional service becomes unmotivated and uninterrupted. Ahoituki, apratihata, yayatma supersedati. Then you will be satisfied. So that is the nature of the Bhagavatam's teachings. So here Aditi, she's approaching the Lord, but the motivation is not pure. Why would you approach the Lord to ask him to rectify that? I mean, of course, in one sense, she wants the universe to be peaceful. She wants the demigods to rule. So the motivation is pious, but it's not the purest motivation. It's simply she still has some material objective. No, whereas we should approach the Lord without material objective, but rather we just want the Lord to be happy and pleased. Now, how is the Lord happy and pleased, especially in Kali Yuga, when the Sankirtan movement is spread? How is the Guru pleased when he sees the Sankirtan movement is spread? Then the Guru becomes happy and satisfied. So that is how we understand. That is our goal. So anywhere where Krishna appears, it becomes the holy Tirtha. Now, of all the holy theatres, the topmost is Vrindavan, which is non-different from Mayapur, and which is also the same as Jagannath Puri. So these are the holiest of all the holy theatres. Because Krishna himself, the original personality, he appears in Vrindavan. And it says that in Vrindavan, all the other holy theatres are present. The prototype is in Vrindavan. Just like you have Badrik Ashram or Kedarnath, all these places, but the original place is in Vrindavan. You can go to Badrik Ashram, you can go to Kedarnath, you can go to these places in Vrindavan, in Braj Mandal. They are the prototype, that is the original, and the expansion is outside. So this is the real, the topmost holy place. We should always aspire to go to Vrindavan. To Keshava Kunj. Any other point?
I'll tell you one example. On Saturday, my two grandchildren were with me in the 6 o'clock lecture. After lecture, there was chanting of the holy name, one round. So my granddaughter, she's only 10 years old, she was so attracted by chanting one round, she said, "I want to buy the chanting beads," and she bought it. So holy name is so attractive, you can see, the soul is attracted by the holy name. I was just surprised. Just out of her own, she said, "So nice chanting. Can I buy you?" Example of holiness. So holy name is so attractive. So we have to get, as you said, higher taste. Once we get a higher taste, then we'll give up everything easily.
Any other points?
The Haritha we produce the very volume 5. So, that the Prabhupada Bastion is going on in Chandigarh. Prabhupada's in Chandigarh and visits many Indian very top people. And then he also says that you people should build a temple. Prabhupada's people must build just near the Kurukshetra. Then, because many people go there and perform sacrifice, but pastors and any rituals, because if people are, because it's very good, they go visit the temple and then they get more benefits.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I feel as if everything was orchestrated by Lord to purify Bani Maharaj.
Yeah. That's one of the main points of the pastime. Okay. My Lord, you are the all-pervading universal form, the fully independent creator, maintainer, and destroyer of this universe. Although you engage your energy in matter, you are always situated in your original form and never fall from that position. For your knowledge is infallible and always suitable to any situation. You are never bewildered by illusion. O my Lord, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Chaitanya Prabhu.
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the 2.117, it says, Siddhanta Bhadaya Chitta Nakara Kadasa Iha Kahide Krishna Gale Sudhrida Manasa. Anyone trying to become fully Krishna conscious must know the Lord's glories as far as they are possible to understand. Here Aditi hints at these glories. The universe is nothing but the external potency of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Mayaratam Idam Sarvam. Whatever we see in this universe is but an expansion of the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the sunshine and heat all over the universe are expansion of the sun. When one surrenders onto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he surpasses the influence of the illusionary energy. For the Supreme Lord, being fully wise and being situated in the heart of everyone, especially in the heart of the devotee, gives one intelligence by which one is sure never to fall into illusion.
So what are these points?
Knowing the glories of the Lord as much as possible.
Good. Anything else?
Everything is an expansion of the Lord itself, and probably as Bhagavatam says, Brahmati, Paramatma, Bhagavan, Shabda, basically you can see in different aspects of what these expansions are. And people who are attracted to the Brahman, effulgence or whatever, they fall into that category and basically miss to see the point of where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. That's basically what is being
trained. Yeah, so what is the definition of Maya? Yeah, that which is not means we see the material energy is separate from Krishna, right? Which it is not. It's not separate from Krishna because it's Krishna's energy. The energy is meant to be used in Krishna's service. But when you see it as separate from Krishna, forgetting Krishna, that is the definition of Maya, which means illusion. Because actually, everything is meant to be used in Krishna's service. It's not disconnected from Krishna because it's Krishna's energy. Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Uchite. If it can be used in Krishna's service, it should be used in his service. Then it is not material, it is spiritual. But when that energy is used for sense gratification, when it is used for purposes other than Krishna's service, then it becomes material. That is the definition. Actually, the material energy is spiritual because Prabhupada says as soon as you use it in Krishna's service, it becomes spiritualized. So it's not, the material energy is also spiritual. But our consciousness, when we forget Krishna, that is material. And that makes the material energy material also. So that material energy, that can bind you or can liberate you, the same thing. Just like that chair can be used to sit in, to listen to some mundane discussion. Or you can sit in that chair to listen to the Bhagavatam. So according to your consciousness, that chair is either spiritual or material. If you're using it to listen to the Bhagavatam, it's spiritual energy. If you're using it for material purposes, it's material energy. So it is just consciousness which makes the difference. Whereas in the spiritual world, everything is spiritual all the time. But in the material world, it depends on your consciousness. Whether you're in Krishna consciousness or in Maya.
Krishna consciousness. Like Prabhupada says, that microphone, when it is used in service of Krishna, is spiritual.
Anything else?
Yeah, when you told me that Maya, the energy, is Purnamasi in the spiritual world.
That's what? Purnamasi?
Yes, Purnamasi.
Yeah.
She's
Yoga Maya.
Yeah. So, if we ask,
anything else?
When you go for work, you generally get the feeling like everything is used in Maya service there. Like, then, of course, we are learning something and contributing to the Krishna business, and we see our tiny part in that. But
when you're going for a walk.
Yeah, when you go for a walk, when it's a massive scale of what is engaged in Maya service, you work towards achieving some material objectives.
Oh, work, sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
Work.
Sorry, start again, because I wasn't right.
So, now when you go for work, we have a big organization,
yeah.
Thousands of people working towards a material goal.
Yeah.
So, currently we see that everything is used in Maya service.
Yeah.
And of course we earn something and contribute for Krishna, but
yeah.
The portion is very...
No, but you are Krishna conscious. The rest of the company is not Krishna conscious, but you are. That's the point.
Well, his point is true, but we are putting very... Let's say we are earning $100,000 and we are just putting $1,000 towards Krishna consciousness. And that's the only portion that we are using. Even though we may be earning and... looking after our family, everything, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, but if the family's devotees, then it's more than $1,000, isn't it? Right? Because if you're using the money to house the wife and the children who are devotees, right, and then feed, offer the bhoga to Krishna and then feed it to the family,
okay.
But that then it's more than gospel also. Does that answer your question? Or?
How to have this frame of mind of seeing the connection of Krishna, the whole...
You give your money to Krishna. If you give your money to Krishna, you will think about him. That's the point. Why does Rupa Goswami say 50%? Imagine if you gave 50% of your wage to the temple every week. Would you be thinking of Krishna? Yeah. So maybe give more. If you're not thinking of Krishna, if you're working and you're giving something to Krishna and you're not thinking of Krishna, then give more and then see what happens. You'll start crying. In ecstasy.
No, in terms of... Sometimes you feel like we need to work more and give more to Krishna, but then again, are we going the other side more? Or
don't work and give more to Krishna, just give more to Krishna. See what happens. The point is, give something to Krishna, that's the point. Just like in Chaupati, which is one of our best temples in our movement, then if you join the congregation, you have to give something to Krishna. How much you give, that's up to you, but you have to give something. So then, it's according to your realization. The more realization you have, the more you give to Krishna. The more you use your money directly in Krishna's service, whether at home or at the temple, but directly in Krishna's service. So many times I go to the Grihastha's houses, they have colour TVs. Are they watching Krishna conscious material on the television, or are they just using it to watch whatever they watch? So you have to see. Just like I went to one Grihastha's house, he had a big colour TV. And he said, I don't have enough money to go to Vrindavan. So I said, sell your television. And you have enough money. So, you know, it's up to you. It's your priority, that's all. So, anything else?
If I have got three houses, I should at least sell one house to give to Krishna. For Krishna service, spreading Krishna movement.
Why not two?
That'd be better.
Okay. One more verse. O unlimited one, if your lordship is satisfied, one can very easily obtain a lifetime as long as that of Lord Brahma. A body in either the upper, lower or middle planetary systems, unlimited material opulence, religion, economic development and satisfaction of the senses, full transcendental knowledge and the 8 yogic perfections. What to speak of such petty achievements as conquering one's rivals? So the point is, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that anything can be attained by the devotees of Krishna. So you have to be very careful what you are asking for. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Right? If you are approaching Krishna with the mood that Krishna, I want something material, that can easily be granted. So it is important that the devotees go to Krishna with the right motivation. Because if you have a spiritual motivation, you can go back to Goloka Vrindavan. But if you have material motivation, easily that can be granted. So we have to examine why we're approaching Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.